You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode, another week of Locked On Vikings. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, like Spotify, Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever you like. Or you can ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today I have an actual detailed salary cap plan. At the end of last week, we talked about who some of the cap casualties could be. And today I took it a step further and I actually have a plan dollar by dollar here to get the Vikings not only under the cap, but under the cap in a useful way and in a way that can extend some of their important UFAs, leave some room for free agency and the draft, and generally solve their cap problems. We did it, folks, and we're going to go over it dollar by dollar in great detail. But first, it's Mock Draft Monday, everybody. And today I am extremely excited to talk about Jordan Reed's mock draft at the Draft Network. If you are unaware, Locked On Vikings and the Draft Network have teamed up to do these mock draft Mondays all the way up until the actual draft, where we are going to cover their mock drafts. And Jordan Reed, noted Vikings fan, was fairly kind to the Vikings in his mock. The board fell great for the Vikings in this mock, with three interesting cornerbacks, Trevon Diggs, Christian Fulton, both of whom have been in mock drafts before, and Josh Jones, a zone run blocking offensive tackle that I'm sure we'll end up talking about in a lot of depth over the course of draft season. But Jordan doesn't have us taking any of those guys. He has us taking Jeff Gladney, cornerback out of TCU, and he's another really good scheme fit. This is actually a really good year to need a corner in the first round, it turns out, because we've gone through a few of these mock drafts now, and they all have us taking a different good scheme fit corner. So Jeff Gladney, to me, I think the best way to describe him is if Trey Waynes had loose hips. That is really the description that I get. He's blazing fast. He's 6 foot, so he does have some contested catch issues. He's very good at mirroring. He's not quite as physical as you wish he was, considering, he's 6 foot and I think he's under 200 pounds, so a little bit too small. But he has great mirroring technique. If he does get beat, he has an unbelievable recovery speed. But I think his ability in, match zones and even man match make him a really good scheme fit for Zimmer. And I think that he is basically an upgrade over Trey Waynes, or at least that's what he projects to be, right? That's what you would hope for him to be, is Trey Waynes, but with loose hips. And with Trey Waynes' contract expiring, letting Trey Waynes walk into free agency and drafting Jeff Gladney could very well be the direction the Vikings want to take. Now, this is a 2-round mock draft from Jordan Reed, so we get a 2nd-round pick to talk about as well. And in the 2nd round, Jordan has us addressing offensive line with a bit of a project. He has us taking Prince Tegawinogo, sorry if I mispronounced that, out of Auburn. He's a zone run blocking offensive tackle, and the dude can scoot. That's the way that Ben Solak puts it in his evaluation. He is somebody that has all the athleticism. He can move. He would fit everything the Vikings are trying to do by getting offensive linemen to, difficult landmarks. He would have absolutely no problem with that. The problem is he has a lot of really, really glaring technique flaws. And so kind of similarly to like Brian O'Neill coming out, although he turned out to be a lot less raw than we thought, but actually somebody else, I think it was Kyle Krabs, compared him to TJ Clemmings coming out, somebody who just is a raw, powerful, and explosive athlete. He's going to be a combine god, but he just isn't quite ready to play, and so that's a little concerning. But since Riley Reiff is under contract, if you don't end up making him a cap casualty, which on the show last week I definitely advocated tentatively against, though I was willing to hear it. But if you don't do that, and you have Riley Reiff start at left tackle for one more year, and Tegawinogo can learn under Reiff's tutelage and kind of learn quietly in the background, and then potentially come back in his sophomore year and be a nice starting left tackle, he has the athleticism to become like a Tyron Smith. And that's what you would really hope for from him, but you gotta develop him right, and of course, that's always easier said than done. Speaking of easier said than done, let's talk a little bit about the salary cap. So, of course, the Vikings are in a really bad position with the salary cap, and I have been spending a ton of shows here talking about the different ways the Vikings can get out from under that rock. We just talked a lot about the just generic techniques and how restructuring contracts work, and, the difference between guaranteed salary and signing bonus and base salary and what you can do and who you can trade or shouldn't trade. And now I want to take off the gloves and I want to actually make a dollar for dollar plan. So this is what the rest of this episode is going to be. Dollar for dollar, how do we approach this offseason in a way that leaves us enough budget to go attack the free agents we want and actually field a considerable and you know, excusable team in 2020 without killing the rest of the cap? Because getting under it isn't good enough, right? You need to address some of the holes on the roster, like left guard and three technique defensive tackle. You need to potentially make a run at some of your own unrestricted free agents, like Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander and, you know, Rashad Hill. And don't forget the guys at the bottom of the roster, like the bottom of the salary cap list, like Dan Bailey and Britton Colquitt. You don't want to have to go replace those guys. That specialist trio worked out really well. And if I can help it, I want to not break them up. You also have to sign your draft class and go into the 2020 season with some level of cushion in case somebody gets hurt and you need to sign a free agent off the street, or, you know, find some random veteran that gets cut off of someone else's, training camp roster. You want to kind of leave yourself open to that. But beyond all that stuff, even if you get a calculation that works out, you want to do it without jeopardizing future years. The goal is to eventually dig yourself out of being in this cap situation every single year. So part of it is getting younger and cheaper and getting to a point where you're not relying on 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, $15 million contracts to start you at every position. So we're going to get really, really deep into that and into dollar amounts. So if that's not your thing, I'm really sorry. You know, we'll be back with a different topic tomorrow. But before I get into the nitty gritty of all of it, I want to talk to you about Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the very first chewable tablet of its kind. It has the same active ingredients as like Viagra and Cialis. So you know what we're talking about here, but it's a chewable. So it kicks in twice as fast, which is pretty important when the moment's right and you don't want to be waiting around. Blue Chew is not just for like men of a certain age, who maybe can't perform the way that they used to. This is for anybody who is looking to improve themselves for the sake of their partner, and your partner deserves it, so why don't you go give it a shot? It ships directly to your door. It's made right here in the United States. It ships in a nice, discreet package, so you can skip the pharmacy and the awkwardness and the waiting and all of those inconveniences, and hey, save a buck doing it. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to bluechew.com right now. That's bluechew.com right now. And if you enter promo code Locked On at checkout, they will let you try it for free. That's right, a free trial of it. So go on over to bluechew.com right now and go check it out. All right, guys, let the games begin. And by the way, a shout out to everybody on Twitter who helped me put together this plan. I tweeted out a couple of things about a wish list and about a possible roster and got some feedback, ended up changing the plan, which is what you see here. So thank you guys so much for engaging at Luke Braun NFL and helping me actually come up with this plan. I definitely did not do this alone. So the first thing I wanted to do was talk about a wish list, right? What do the Vikings need to do? What's the shopping list here? And I wanted to be as comprehensive as possible and as optimistic with it as possible. So no thing is left out. If the Vikings could feasibly make as much cap space as you could ever want, what kind of offseason would there be? And let's, you know, go down and itemize all of that. So the first thing, of course, is getting under this cap and just being CBA compliant in general, right? And that's going to cost $11,366,514. Don't get too bogged down in the numbers here. Don't worry, I got the calculator out for you. But that's upwards of $11 million. They'll also have to sign a draft class and have that little bit of cushion I mentioned earlier in the show. So Over the Cap actually projects the Vikings draft class based on the picks that they have right now. And of course, that could change during the draft time. But right now they have that costing about $8 million and change to sign all of the draft picks based on how the rookie wage scale works right now. New CBA could change it all, but we'll go with the way that it is right now on Over the Cap. And I'll inflate that to $10 million just to give them a little bit of contingency. If someone gets hurt and they need to sign somebody for the veteran minimum off the street, you got a million and change to work with there in case something like that happens. Now, let's talk unrestricted free agents. For me, there are a few that I want to keep. Anthony Harris is a huge one. Over the Cap right now projects that he would demand $14.1 million on average per year on the open market. So we'll work with that number for now, but know that I understand that, you know, Rob Brzezinski likes to backload contracts and maybe get that initial cap hit down a little bit. So, you know, if we do decide that we're going to re-sign Anthony Harris, which right now, let's just go with the average annual value and deflate it later if we have to. I also want to keep Jaron Kearse. I know he might not be interested in staying with the Vikings, but in a situation where maybe you don't keep Anthony Harris, he might be a decent starting option, and most of his disgruntledness is about not being a starter. So if he's a starter, I think he would gladly come back and take that. So I'm going to put down a $5 million cap hit for him if the Vikings do re-sign him. That's roughly what teams are paying their second safeties. I would also like to keep Trey Waynes. Teams tend to be paying their CB2s around $7.5 million. That's the over-the-cap projection for him. And if you don't like Trey Waynes, that's totally fair. This shouldn't be about Trey Waynes' evaluation. Either way, you're probably not going to want to enter the draft needing more than one cornerback. So you're probably going to end up spending at least $7.5 million on the open market on corners if you let Trey Waynes go. Same thing applies to Mackenzie Alexander. He'll cost, I'm calling it like $3 million. And Sean Mannion, I'm calling it like $1.5 million. Even if you don't like those guys, you're going to have to pay for somebody of equivalent value on the open market if you let him go. You need a backup quarterback. You need a nickel cornerback. And you probably have to end up kicking Mike Hughes to the outside and then have McKenzie at the nickel, and that might help you, you know, in a situation where you need a new corner. In the 2019 season, Rashad Hill made $2 million. I think that's fair for a backup tackle. I want to bring him back for the same price tag. And a lot of these guys are just coming back for the same price tag they made in 2019. I'm just trying to keep it simple that way. I'm doing something similar with Dan Bailey and Britton Colquitt, who are making $1,930,000 respectively. And I'd also like to bring back Dakota Dozier for $650,000, what he made in 2019. I think that's fair for a backup offensive lineman. And I like the depth that he provided. He's certainly not a starting quality player, but you need depth too. Lastly, there's one restricted free agent that I definitely want to bring back, and that's CJ Ham. I would love to put an original round tender on him. I don't think anybody's going to try to match or take him away. He's just a fullback, and I don't think teams, I think teams that do run a fullback are pretty satisfied with their own. So that's just upwards of $2 million, $2,144,000 to be exact. So that's the over the cap projection for what the original round tender for an undrafted free agent is. So we'll go with that. On the actual free agent market, there are only two things that I think the Vikings can responsibly pursue, assuming they get Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander and stuff back. If not, of course, you need to pursue replacements for those guys for similar price tags, like I said. But I also want them to go after a guard, and I think a $3 million guard would be a nice addition to compete with a potential draft pick. And I want them to go after a three technique, and if they had $7.5 million to spend on that, I think they could get somebody who is at the very least serviceable, or at most, very exciting. So that's my big long wish list, and that's probably sounds really daunting and insane, and it is. It adds up to over 69 million nice dollars. So let us begin to try and make some cap space. I'm going to start with the easy cuts. Pat Elflein and Shamar Stephen, these are two guys that have been talking about cutting for a while. I think at the end of the year when I did the postmortem, I said, hey, maybe Pat Elflein will be back. I didn't realize that he had an escalator. As a third round draft pick, if you start enough games, your contract escalates, but that's not a guaranteed amount of money. So like over $2 million was added to Elflein's contract, but you can cut him and get that cap space back. So I'm going to do that. I don't want him to be really expensive backup. He's not worth Joe Berger money as a backup, and I highly doubt he's going to be the starting left guard of the future. With Shamar Stephen, I think that's just a bad contract that you just kind of have to take your medicine and get out of. He's got a $5 million cap hit right now. You can save about half of it by cutting him. You take the other half in dead money. But again, I don't think he's good enough to be a starting three technique, and I want to open things up for that to change in the future. You also have a really promising nose tackle in Armin Watts who can potentially take over some of those run-stuffing duties. I really like his odds to be a contributor in 2020, and I'm willing to bet on it. So cutting those two saves you $4,510,666. We're on our way, folks. But I think we have to talk a little bit bigger money here. I've talked a lot about Xavier Rhodes and Linval Joseph as my top two cap casualty candidates. Go listen to the Thursday episode for more on that and for more explanation. But for the sake of time, suffice it to say, I'm going to cut these two guys. I think that they just don't quite have enough of a future to be worth the cap hits that they're hitting right now. And cutting them saves over $18 million. So if you cut those two and Elflein and Steven, you are at $23,166,666. So, only like $46 million to go. So I got to take some stuff off of the wish list here. And where I'm going to start is hoping that Oli Udoh would have beaten Rashad Hill out in a training camp battle, and I'm not going to re-sign Rashad Hill. I know that's only $2 million, but it all adds up. I am generally sad about this. I do not want Rashad Hill to be off the Vikings. I think he is a valuable member of tackle depth, and I think he provides a good challenge. If the Vikings can go into 2020 with that swing tackle position being a battle between Oli Udoh and Rashad Hill, I'd be ecstatic. But in this particular cap plan, I'm trusting that Oli Udoh is ready to take up that backup mantle. And honestly, after watching him in week 17, I like his odds to do so. So I'm making a bit of a gamble here. The other one that I'm taking off the wish list, and this kills me, is Anthony Harris. Now, I have been on the record saying that re-signing Anthony Harris should be the number one priority for the Vikings. And if they can do so with a contract that fits into this puzzle, I'm all for it, and I would love it, and I hate that I'm doing this, but here's the deal. This is the logic behind it. For one, if Anthony Harris walks, he's getting a huge contract on the free market, and that's going to be a big compensatory pick. Not unlike what Sheldon Richardson offered to the Vikings. It almost was a third-round pick, and I actually actually think Anthony Harris could net the Vikings an actual third-round pick, which is a really valuable asset and would go a long way toward replacing him. The other thing is, like I said before, you have Jayron Kearse. And if Jayron Kearse is here to start for $5 million versus Anthony Harris for like $14 million, and Jayron Kearse comes with an extra compensatory draft pick, that's starting to be defensible to me. I don't think it's better. I wouldn't take Jayron Kearse and a draft pick over Anthony Harris. But if choosing Anthony Harris prohibits me from keeping guys like Everson Griffin on the team, from keeping guys like Trey Waynes on the team, I'll take the difference between Anthony Harris and Jayron Kearse plus draft pick if it means that I can function normally elsewhere on the roster. I actually originally posted one, a feasible roster with the cap all figured out where I didn't do this, where I signed Harris, but I let Everson Griffin go. And it turned out that was just too many hits to the defensive line. I'm already losing Linval. I'm already losing Stefan. I've got to keep those edge rushers and hope that you can improve on what ended up being the worst defensive tackle room in the league. And that's kind of why I'm overhauling it. And I'm also going to reduce the free agency budget for the guard and the three technique. Right now, I'm spending $10.5 million on that, and I'm just going to reduce it to $6 million and say, you know, you've got $6 million to spend between a guard and a defensive tackle and change that defensive tackle to a nose tackle and hope I get a three technique in the draft. I don't like having that dire of a need in the draft, but I think that's a small sacrifice in flexibility for me to be able to do all the other stuff here that I want on my wish list. And spoiler alert, that's all I'm getting rid of. So with this plan, I'm able to keep Trey Waynes, I'm able to keep Jayron Kearse, I'm able to keep Mackenzie Alexander and have a reasonable secondary. And if you do something like what Jordan Reed had in the mock draft leading into this, I actually like the odds that that secondary turns out okay. Still don't love the interior defensive line. I think you could only get like a kind of average nose tackle for that, and you'd still be hurting for a three technique. But I think that in terms of getting younger and cheaper and, you know, keeping yourself from kicking too many cans down the road, which we've done none of yet, I think we're in an okay spot. So after doing that, all of that, the $69 million that we needed has turned into $46 million. So that means we have about $23 million in cap space we still have to create. Part of that is going to be in the way that we structure the Trey Waynes and Jayron Kearse contracts. I'll spare you the details, and Brzezinski's going to be better than me at this anyways. But suffice it to say, I think you can front load those or backload those contracts so the first years are a little bit lower, and you can get Jayron Kearse for like $4 million a year. You could get Trey Waynes for like $5 million in 2020 and save about $3 million doing that. I'm also banking a little bit here on the development of like Holton Hill and Armin Watts to fill in some of these gaps that I've left. Pretty unlikely that all of it works out, but I'm taking a couple of calculated gambles here and kind of accepting that there's probably going to be a hole or two on the roster. Nobody doesn't have one. Okay, so we still have quite a bit of work to do, and I'm going to start with Everson Griffin. So Everson Griffin currently is making a whopping $15 million a year against the salary cap, although $13 million in actual base. He already got some of that signing bonus. But none of that is in guaranteed salary. And he can be cut right now and only cost the Vikings that $2 million in salary cap. And that's not extra money in Everson Griffin's pocket. So I think he would be very open to a quote-unquote extension, but really a restructure and a pay cut, and not the converting salary cap to signing bonus restructure, although I will do some of that, but mostly let's turn some of the, you know, this big giant inflated salary cap number into something more reasonable, and we'll give you guarantees. A lot of this is kind of relying on a general attitude of good faith from Everson Griffin and the way that the Vikings treated him during, you know, the mental health crisis that he went through last year, and just throughout all of these years and all of this loyalty. I'm kind of banking on some built up loyalty and trust because this isn't necessarily the best deal for Everson Griffin, but I think that you can shave between asking him to take a pay cut for more guarantees and also restructuring some of his salary and turning it into signing bonus. I think you can knock $8 million off of his cap hit. He has 3 years left on his deal, which means you can restructure $6 million of his base salary into signing bonus, turning that $6 million into $2 million, so you save $4 there, and then just cut $4 off of the top in general and add guarantees to the rest of his deal to make sure that he sees it, and then you can market that as, look, Everson Griffin's going to retire a Viking. I think you can do something extremely similar with Riley Reiff. I don't want to cut him because I want to have at least one definite starting quality player on the left side of that offensive line, and now if I don't find a guard in free agency because I spent all of the $6 million budget that I have on a three tech, or if the draft doesn't fall the way I want, or some combination of the two, I at least got one guy, right? But he, too, has a contract with no guarantees left on it. And he's already a decent, cap casualty candidate. And so giving him more guarantees and added security, you can do the same thing where you restructure, you can add a year to his contract. So call it a quote unquote extension, but it really is more of a cap saving move. And it's just like technically an extension. The headlines will be weird. Vikings extend Riley Reiff and you'll get all kinds of weird comments about it, but who cares? The point of this is actually making him less of a burden on you. You can convert a bunch of his base salary to guaranteed salary, knock $4 million off the top, doing that the same as Everson Griffin, and then do the same move of a signing bonus, of converting $6 million of base salary into signing bonus. You can save $8 million doing that. And the extra year you would have to add to his contract, you can make it a very large base salary year and kind of make it a carrot at the end of the stick kind of deal. Hey, we'll pay you $13 million in 2022 if you're still our starting left tackle by then. Why don't you bet on yourself? I think that he would be open to a negotiation like that. And even though it's really unlikely he ever sees that money, he's at least getting extra signing bonus and there's plenty in it for him as well as a goal to strive for. So after all this, we are at a whopping $35,160,666 in cap space created. We got to get a little bit over $46 million. And remember, that also includes the contingency and cushion and draft class and stuff. So we just, that is the maximum number we need to cross. Once we've crossed that by a dollar, we're good to go. And we've got about $11 million to go. So this is where we start kicking cans down the road. And I think creating $11 million in cap space by kicking cans down the road, that ain't too bad. The two best restructure candidates that we have here, outside of guys that would like take a pay cut for more guarantees, which we've already done, but in terms of just converting salary to signing bonus and kicking the can down the road, the two best contracts on the Vikings books right now are Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter, because both of them have 4 years left on the deal, which means for all of the salary that you convert into signing bonus, it gets spread a little bit thinner. If you convert $8 million to signing bonus on those contracts, they're $2 million cap hits a year, and that's totally reasonable. So that's exactly what I've done with Danielle Hunter. I've converted $8 million of his salary cap base salary to a signing bonus, and I've converted $7 million of Diggs's base salary to a signing bonus. And the thing about doing it with Diggs too is that it adds a little bit of security. It makes it harder for the Vikings to get rid of him or trade him. It makes it harder for him to demand a trade. If any of that stuff is going on, I personally don't think it is. Go listen to the Wednesday episode from last week. But if any of this is going on, it is a show of good faith. Hey, here's a $7 million check and a greater commitment to you that shows you that we think that you're valuable. I think that's a good move when it comes to managing the relations of your maybe, probably not disgruntled wide receiver. So dividing that $15 million over the next 4 years, it turns $15 million into $3.75 million over 3 years. $3.75 million a year is something you can totally work around for the next few years. You can't do that too much, but I think this is a situation where this is totally warranted, and I don't think it's too deeply irresponsible. Also, it makes up the $11 million that we need to get over this cap hit problem. So you have $6.5-ish million to go into free agency with. You've extended the unrestricted free agents that you want, you've restructured some contracts, you've lowered some cap hits, and you've cut some of the more problematic players that were eating up large cap hits. I think the guys, the roster as it stands right now, I'm decently okay with. I still don't like the interior defensive line, right? I think you've left yourself a little bit too open for that to be poor again, because you don't have any starters, right? You don't even have Stephon and Linval Joseph. You don't have your best player right now on that unit, on that interior unit, is probably Armin Watts, and I'm not quite comfortable with that. So going into free agency, I'm probably prioritizing that over prioritizing guard. If Dakota Dozier ends up being the guard, it's a failure, but I don't think it's as bad of a failure as having your interior defensive line be like Jaleel Johnson and Armin Watts, or the draft needs to fall your way. I don't like being in that situation, and that's a really, really hard need to have to go attack in the draft. But secondary, I'm kind of okay with. I think Mike Hughes and Trey Waynes on the outside with Mackenzie Alexander in the slot, plus whatever you can add in the draft and whatever Holton Hill amounts to be, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Harrison Smith and Jayron Kearse. I don't think it's as good as it's been in years past, but 2019, I don't think you were going to get, like, I think if you stuck with the same group and really worked yourself to do that, I think you'd get too similar a result to the 2019 secondary issues. And I think even though you maybe will regress a little bit, you got a lot younger, you got a lot cheaper, and I think you're a lot better set up to build through the draft and continue to inject talent onto that defense. You kept Hunter, you kept Griffin, you kept the offense more or less intact, and I think that that's really important because Kirk Cousins, you know, needs to have Diggs and Thielen and Rudolph, and I don't want to touch that stuff. And the most important thing to me here is that we did all of this without extending Kirk Cousins. Now, I've talked about extensions in a previous episode, so go check that out for more detailed talk about this, but I don't want to extend Kirk Cousins just to make cap space. If we're extending Kirk Cousins, I want to do it in August after we've seen the draft, after we've seen if, you know, a quarterback has a bad pro day and falls to the Vikings or something crazy like that, then extend Kirk Cousins and try to make some cap space doing all that stuff. But if we could make it through this offseason without extending Kirk Cousins, and then do it in training camp if you really want to, or have the option not to if things work out that way, I think that's a much more preferable option. And honestly, extending Kirk Cousins for cap space, I think, blows up this whole plan, because now you're locked in, and in a pretty good quarterback draft, like, there are a lot of guys that could fall to the Vikings that might be interesting, in Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts, and, you know, you could have something insane. I mean, lots of crazy draft process stuff, and Joe Burrow is the consensus number one right now, but who knows, something could happen, and he could sprain his ankle and fall to pick 25, right? Lamar Jackson went 32nd. He's the MVP. All sorts of weird stuff could happen, and I would much rather be open to it than say, ah, well, we just extended Kirk Cousins, and be in a similar situation where, you know, the Vikings would say, eh, we're not going to draft Russell Wilson. We have Christian Ponder. I don't want to be in that situation again. Regardless of your evaluation of Kirk Cousins and if you think he should be extended or not, you have to understand that doing it in August before the 2020 season, there's no cost to doing that versus doing it now, except doing it now gives you cap space. And if you don't need that cap space, I think that's a much better way to approach the offseason. So that's my salary cap plan. I may have explained some of the numbers wrong. So if you're trying to do calculations along at home and something messed up, let me know, and I'll let you know what I accidentally said wrong. But I double triple checked it in all of my sheets, and I promise you that this is a plan that adds up the way that I think it does. I didn't go through too many of the details on like what happens in 2021 and 2022. I just tried to keep things as, you know, reasonable for those years as possible, so that we're not sitting here $15 million over the cap in 2021 and doing all these exercises again. So in the future, I'm going to start doing mock free agencies with this same kind of methodology, except with different challenges. Last year, I did one where I cut Kirk Cousins and tried to deal with the cap catastrophe that that would create. This year, I might do one where I cut everybody and try to, you know, do a free agent for everything and try to, you know, field an actual team with cutting everybody that could save me money or something silly like that. We might do stuff like that. But I don't know. We'll probably do something much different than this so we can get a different taste in our mouths for tomorrow's episode. But thank you guys so much for hanging out. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. Show's on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or you can just ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.